The title of my sermon tonight is Precious Things. What are precious things and why are they valuable? The dictionary definition of the word precious says highly prized or prized as for rarity or for intrinsic, exchangeable, or other valuable. Of a kind to excite peculiar affection, dear, blessed in enjoyment or benefit. Most people would think of money first as a precious thing. If you ask somebody, what do you want most? You went out on the street, what would you really like to have right now? They might say money. I'm going to put money down here at the bottom. As far as precious things go. But although money in and of and by itself is mostly just pieces of paper with ink like this. Piece of paper with ink on it. Not particularly valuable in our society, not particularly valuable as we think of it by our standards. It is only valuable under favorable conditions. And consider what happened to the value of Confederate money in the United States after the American Civil War. Consider what happened to the German money after World War II. Or Zimbabwean money today. It's practically worthless. Because in the end, it is simply paper. And in our world today, it might not even be paper. It may be little electronic digits on some computer chip somewhere in a bank where money is sent back and forth between the computers as electronic digits. It's not even a piece of paper anymore. It's electricity in high and low states, in digital form of information. It doesn't even have substance anymore. That piece of paper, as we understand it, is worth something. And as I understand it, the buying power of the American dollar today is probably less than 36 cents. Money is considered precious because it is exchangeable. And that word exchangeable came up in the definition. It is considered precious because of what it can get, of what it can be exchanged for. So we see that money, currency, is simply an easy means of exchange to get the things that we consider to be precious. You might take your money and you might buy some gold with it. Gold is a precious thing. It's considered to be, in fact, literally a precious metal. It's considered to be a precious thing. Valuable. It's considered to be valuable. It's valuable because it is a metal that does not rust or tarnish. You could take a piece of gold. As a matter of fact, I have some at home. And the old saying is when you've seen gold, you're not fooled by anything else. And it's true. I collect rocks and minerals, and I know. I finally got a little bit of gold in a little vial. And once you see gold, it's really difficult. Now, this brass kind of has a goldish color to it. And some brass even looks more like gold. But once you've seen the real thing, you can tell, just like that. That's gold. The color of it, the luster of it, the softness, malleability, what they call malleability, the ability to bend it and shape it without it cracking and breaking up. And as I said, it doesn't tarnish. Take it, put it in a little vial of water, and it doesn't ever rust, doesn't ever corrode. So it's good for making things like jewelry and money. People make money, currency, out of the valuable thing. But also consider what Peter said to Simon in Acts chapter 8. We turn to Acts chapter 8. We kind of put money into perspective. In Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 18, you have the apostles here going around and healing people and giving people the Holy Spirit. And this was seen to be something of value. This is a valuable thing. And indeed, it definitely was. It was a gift from God. It was a gift of God. And when Simon saw, in verse 18, that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Well, it's a means of exchange. Saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased by money. So this kind of puts money into perspective. The money wasn't valuable enough to purchase the gift of God. The gift of God was so much more valuable, so much more precious than mere money. It couldn't be purchased with money. So we got money down here at the bottom of our list. Put it down at the bottom of the blackboard. Because money, although it has value and is considered to be precious, is not the most precious thing. It is not among the most precious things. And we'll find that out as I continue the sermon, as I continue the lesson. Money can buy you many things. But as many songs and sayings go, money can't buy you love. In fact, a person that tries to buy love and respect with money ends up being despised even more in the end than they would have if they'd have never had the money in the first place. You consider what kind of person that gets money and thinks that money's going to get them love and respect. They're going to go around and say, I'm a rich man, you better love me. What kind of person is that? What kind of attitude does that show? The kind of, I really like that guy. I really want to be around him. He's such a nice guy. The money makes you into the kind of person that is despised. It's kind of ironic. People that expect money to buy them love and respect ended up become more despised than they would have been if they hadn't ever had the money. In fact, God teaches us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Our God, our Creator, tells us, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Then there's gold and other precious minerals like diamonds, emeralds, rubies, etc. These are considered to be precious things. And the Bible doesn't dispute that they have a certain value, that they have a certain preciousness. But I want you to think of a verse where it contrasts gold to something else that is more valuable than gold. How much gold would you give for your next breath of air? Keep the gold, or you get to keep on breathing? Just how much would you pay? How much gold would you give? The air we breathe is more valuable than gold. The oxygen we breathe. What good is this gold to me if I'm dead? If I can't breathe anymore? Well, we take the air for granted. God has provided it for us. It doesn't mean it's not valuable. The air is precious. The oxygen is precious to us. Well, we just take it for granted because God has provided it for us in abundance. Nobody pays for air. But if you had a big chest of gold here and said, okay, you can keep the gold, hang on to the gold, or you can go on breathing, which would you choose? Which is more precious to you? The air we breathe is more precious than gold. So we've got precious minerals like gold. Silver and what have you, and diamonds and rubies. And then you got things like air. How about water? Water is a precious thing. Try to go without water. But God provides it in abundance. It rains on us. It comes down, falls down on us from out of the sky. Clean water. You can drink it. You can live. Water's more precious than these other things. Food is more precious. Shelter. That stuff isn't going to do you any good if you freeze to death. Shelter's important. These things are just a means and an end to get these more. You always look at it. It always goes, and you're trying to get something more precious with something that's less. A lot of times, you because you realize you spend your money for these things. You spend your gold and your precious metals a lot of times to get these things. You spend your money to get the precious metals. How about health? Somebody will say, well, you know, without your health, you don't have anything. And that's true. To a great degree, yes, that is true. Health is very important. For the most part, God supplies us with good bodies that even fix themselves. Now, that's a miracle in and of itself, things that fix themselves. I ought to know, I'm in the business of fixing things. Machines, when machines break, they don't fix themselves. They got me to fix them. They call me and they say, Greg, get out here and fix this machine. We got bodies that fix themselves. That's a miracle right there. Now, what a design. A body that fixes itself. How horrible would it be if our bodies didn't fix themselves? We get sick and what would we do? What in the world will we do if we break your arm? What in the world are you going to do? Try to fix it? Glue it back together? It fixes itself, for the most part. Nevertheless, those who have had health problems fully understand how precious good health is. How much would you give for good health? How much gold? How much money? Would you exchange those things for the health? God provides us with self-healing bodies. But do we take them for granted? Still, there are other things that are more precious than health. And then there is your life. The life you live, the life of your loved ones, your mom, your dad, your grandparents, your friends, your loved ones, even other people, your coworkers and strangers and other people on earth. You don't put a price on that. Because it's more precious. I don't need to ask you to put a price on your babies. But consider that I couldn't have paid you to put up with what you gladly are going to endure for at least 18 years or more. I couldn't have paid you to do it. That's how precious our babies are. And that's your child. Something so rare, valuable, dear, and blessed in enjoyment and benefit that we can only cry when we consider our poverty in retrospect, in comparison, as we clamor to God like beggars in rags, in our poverty and our destitution, in comparison to the gift of grace that is God sacrificing His only Son to purchase our salvation. Salvation is definitely, without a doubt, more precious than these other things. But these other things cannot purchase salvation. Not money, not precious metals, not air, water, not health, not bodies of people. Our bodies are sinners. Could not purchase salvation. And yet that is more precious. That is something that is needed so desperately by us. You think of the people in Haiti right now, as they, after the earthquake, and as they are going around, as the days go by and the chaos and the people trying to get to them, help them, and they understand their poverty. But do we understand our poverty, our destitution, when it comes to the value of something that is more precious than salvation? What it took to purchase salvation. And salvation is indeed, without a doubt, more precious than these other things. As a matter of fact, you can't buy it with money. You can't buy it with precious minerals. You can't buy it with all the earth and all everything in it. You cannot buy it with your own body, your own health, your own life. You cannot purchase salvation. That is Jesus. At the top. Why is Jesus so precious? Jesus is rare. First, He is God's only begotten Son. We read earlier in the scripture, we'll read again. In John chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And also in verses 32, just move over to verse 32. "And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Now, as I said, your own children, your own son or daughter, is very precious and very precious to you. But how much more so is God's son? You're talking about God. His son is much more precious. This is a point that is understood by Abraham when he was asked to offer up Isaac. And King David, when he sinned against God, and he asked, "Should I give my firstborn for my sin?" Something of value, something precious to him, something that was precious. What would it take to get salvation? But in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. This is God speaking to Abraham, and he says, "Then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.'" Abraham believed God. Abraham obeyed God. Abraham loved his son Isaac, son of promise, that God had given him a promise. He loved his only child. He loved his child. His child was precious to him. But God told him, "Try to understand this. I'm asking you to go and take this son that is precious to you and offer him," because later on God is going to do that very same thing. He's going to give his son in the same way. He's going to watch his son be taken and abused, beaten and reviled and crucified, killed. He's going to watch his son be sacrificed. And he's trying to impress upon Abraham, and in turn us, what he's doing, how important it is to him, how precious of a gift he is giving to man for man's salvation. What price? What could be given in exchange? And we read in the definition, it's something of exchangeability. It's exchangeable. It can purchase something else. As I pointed out, none of those things can purchase salvation. None of them. But the blood of Christ could. God's only begotten Son could purchase salvation. We talk about precious things. And when we think about precious things, at the top of that list is Jesus, who has purchased our salvation. with his own blood, his own life. God gave him because that was the price that had to be paid. That's how, because salvation is precious and it required something of equal or greater value to purchase it. Jesus was pure and sinless. Why was Jesus precious? Because Jesus was pure and sinless. And we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was precious because he was pure. And he was sinless. That's rare. That's one of the words in the word in the definition of precious. The definition, rarity. How rare is that? One human being in all of human history, in all the human race, all the billions that have ever lived and ever will live, one was sinless. That's rare. You might find a specimen of gold, and gold actually crystallizes, has little shapes and stuff to it. You might find a very fine specimen of gold, or a ruby that's just clear, doesn't have any imperfections or cracks inside of it, or inclusions, what they call inclusions, or things like other minerals or stuff inside of the ruby. Jesus was sinless. And those things are rare, but how rare was Jesus, which makes him precious? Jesus purchased our salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, it tells us very plainly here, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You were bought with a price. And when that says you were bought with a price, it's talking about Jesus. That was the price. So we look at that tonight. What do you consider to be precious? Your own life? The life of your children? Life of your parents, your friends, your loved ones, money? Put it into perspective. What is precious? Salvation? Indeed. Certainly. Salvation. But consider the gift that God gave. When it says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, consider just what price he paid for your salvation. And be grateful and be thankful and have your faith increased and your commitment to God and good and truth strengthened. Because God loved you that much to give his only begotten Son, and that's precious. Money doesn't go there. The whole universe doesn't go there. The things of the universe don't go there. That's God's Son that he gave us. That's God's Son that was crucified on that cross. That's God's child that he gave us. And you know how precious your children are to you. And so God offers us, each and every one of us, the opportunity to accept his gift. Because as I said, when you think about it, when we approach God in our sinful state, in our lost state, we are nothing but beggars. We are poor. We are poverty. We are true poverty when we approach our God in that sinful, lost state. We cannot purchase our own salvation. It's not possible. But God knows that. And God has provided us with the most precious gift of all, the most precious thing of all, his Son Jesus. So if there is anyone tonight in the audience who understands that they need to become right with God, they need to accept God's plan of salvation, they need to accept God's Son as their Lord and Savior because he has paid the price, will they accept the gift? Jesus has already paid the price. Will you accept the gift? Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to leave that life of sin and be purchased by the blood of Christ? Be bought to live for him? Are you ready to make that confession that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Christ, that he is the Savior, that he did die for you? Are you willing to accept the gift of God, that precious gift? If you are, you can come forward before this group and this audience and make that confession, be baptized in the name of God and Jesus, his Son, and the Holy Spirit, and have the forgiveness of sin and be added by God to that group of saved believers, the other people who have accepted the gift of God, the other people who hopefully appreciate just how precious that price was, just how precious Jesus is. If there's anyone subject to the invitation, please come forward as we sing our invitation song.